A story was once told of a little boy whose sister needed a blood transfusion. The doctor explained that she had the same disease the boy had recovered from 2 years earlier. Her only chance for recovery was a transfusion from someone who had previously conquered the disease. Since the two children had the same rare blood type, the boy was the ideal donor. Would you give blood to Mary, the doctor asked. Johnny hesitated. His lower lip started to tremble. Then he smiled and said, "Sure, for my sister." Soon the two children were wheeled into the hospital room. Neither spoke, but their eyes met. Johnny grinned. When the ordeal was almost over, Johnny broke the silence. "Doctor, when do I die?" Only then did the doctor realize that Johnny had thought giving his blood to his sister meant giving up his life. Fortunately, Johnny didn't have to die to save his sister. Each of us, however, have a condition more serious than that of Mary's, and it required Jesus to give not only his blood, but his life. In John chapter 19, verse 17 and verse 18, it reads, "And bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him, the two and two others with him, on either side, one, and Jesus in the middle." You know, even though we sinned and turned our backs on God, he sent his son to pay the price that we might live with him for all eternity. You know, what is it that motivated him to give his life for a people who wanted him to die? Well, that motivation was love. A love that superseded all other emotions. A love so amazing, so divine. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it tells us, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation." That word propitiation means an acceptable sacrifice or payment accepted by God. They sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. Everything that God has done for mankind is an amazement to me. When I sit and think about it and try and comprehend and understand all that has happened, it's overwhelming. When I think that God created man, and which is the truth, and we're far from the truth in our world today and understanding where we have come from, but God created all mankind. And God created man for a purpose, and that was fellowship. God desired a relationship and fellowship with all of mankind. And it started out that way with Adam and with Eve. But Satan came and tempted man, came to Adam, and at that time Adam was able to resist the temptation and not fall to it. But he then went to Eve and deceived her and beguiled her, and she in turn then believed what Satan was selling and sinned against God the Father. Adam soon followed Eve in that sin, and the human race, mankind, fell out of fellowship with God. Man had sinned. That sin separated man from God. God didn't separate man. Sin separated man. The Bible tells us that God cannot look upon sin. And so sin separated man from God. And God had a great desire to restore that broken fellowship, to restore that relationship back with man. And so the great work of redemption started. It began. It's interesting when I consider all this and see what was done. You see, we notice God and see God as he judged man's sins. Man's sin, God brought judgment upon that. He found man guilty of the crime or the sin he committed against him. And then he passed the condemnation on to man, an eternal punishment in hell, a separation from him for all eternity. And then after that was done, he came to earth as man. A lot of people are trying to understand God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches they're all one person. And Jesus, as the Son of God, actually is God. And God came down in the form of man. He took on a human body, conceived through a Virgin Mary, and this body was formed, and God indwelt that body, the incarnate God. And God walked upon the earth. We know him as Jesus. And he lived on earth, and he dwelt among men. And he understood man's temptation and understood man's sin, or suffering, I'm sorry, and pain. And as he came to earth as a man, he then became the payment for man's sins. Jesus' purpose, or God's purpose, was to become the sacrifice that he would accept. Jesus became the acceptable sacrifice to himself. He was the only one who could make that payment, because all other had sin, all other had crimes against them that had to be forgiven, but only the Father was sinless. And in the person of Jesus Christ, he lived a sinless life here on earth. And he went to that old cross, and he died on that cross to redeem man back to himself. You know, even so, as we look at this, and we see in John chapter 15, verse 13, it tells us, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. You know, we sing the song, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. Yeah, I'm amazed at the love that God has for the human race, for mankind, for me. When I was saved back in April of 1979, one of the first thoughts that came to me just days after I had gotten saved is why? Why would God send his Son, Jesus Christ, to die for me? Who am I? Why am I worth his death? Why would God want me? You see, I understood the person I was, and I wasn't that good of a person. I wondered why Jesus would want to die for me. Then I realized what it was all about. Yeah, I realized that it was because of love. That's the reason that God came. That's the reason why Jesus came. It's the reason why this past week we celebrate his birth, his coming to this world. Because he loved mankind. There's no other reason. It wasn't because we were desirable. It wasn't because we were perfect and deserved him coming. It was a fact that God chose to love mankind, and sin had corrupted man, sin had tainted man, sin has really made man undesirable in so many ways. But God still desired fellowship with his creation, with his people. And so he came into this world, and he became that propitiation, or that acceptable sacrifice to the Father, the payment, the perfect payment, his shed blood that would wash our sins away. And Jesus came and fulfilled all of that. And even so, we should strive to be like Christ by showing those around us his great love. Love for others that goes beyond any feelings of hatred or hurt or any kind of loss or pain. You know, we too ought to demonstrate the same love to others that Christ demonstrated toward us. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13 tells us, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow, to me this is a powerful verse. And to me, it keeps me coming back to a place where I need to be. I need to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving to others. Why? Well, it goes on to say, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Or, speaking of forgiving me, because of the love and the forgiveness that is demonstrated toward me, I am supposed to demonstrate that same type of love and forgiveness toward others, towards all mankind. God's love for man, we need to understand this. It was a choice. It was not based on an emotion. It wasn't an emotional moment that God all of a sudden became weepy and thoughtful and missed us. It was a choice that he made. God's forgiveness to man is born out of the love he has for man. It wasn't something separate that came about, but it was born out of love. And it was a superior emotion that overrode all of the other emotions that God has. You say, does God have emotions? Well, certainly. It talks about his anger. It talks about jealousy. It does talk about love. It talks about many of the emotions that you and I, we have in our life today. We live in a world full of hate, and God brings love. And this world desperately needs to know love. And thank God that we know his love, because we read about it, we understand it, and it's demonstrated to us each and every day. In 1 John 4:7, we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, knoweth God." You know, we live in a world full of hate, and we need God in this world. We need Jesus Christ in this world. But we also need believers in Christ are acting like Christ, demonstrating that love, and being a vessel of that love and a vessel of that forgiveness to a world that's full of hate and bitterness and envy, jealousy, revenge, so much pain and suffering that people are going through. And somehow they need to understand God. They need to understand God's love. And the way that God has made that possible is that love is demonstrated through his people. It flows through us to others. We must love the way God has loved us. Now, the question is, which is a very genuine question, how? How am I supposed to love people like Christ loved me? Am I supposed to demonstrate it by dying for someone? Well, that's a possible way of doing that, but I don't believe that's what our Lord is requesting of us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, we see where we can find the strength and the help, and we can find what we need in order to be able to love people. In Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." Now, let me back up a little bit. I want to help you understand what's being said here. It says the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, that's a great power. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is part of God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It is the power of God. The power of God that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Not in everyone, but in believers. Born-again believers. When you and I came to a point in seeing ourselves as sinners and needing a Savior, and we turned to Jesus Christ and we received him fully by faith, there's a new birth that took place in us. In John chapter 3, it says you must be born again, not of flesh, not of blood, but of the Spirit. And we're born from above by the Spirit of God who indwells us today, and we live our life with God in us and God being part of us. Romans chapter 5, verse 5 tells us, "And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." See, God is speaking here that his love is shed abroad. And that means everywhere. Everywhere in the world, everywhere we live, we go, that God's love is shown. It's demonstrated through our life, through our actions, through our words, through our forgiveness. It's all demonstrated because the world needs to understand and to know God. You know, we can spend a lot of time preaching to a world about God and to believe in him. But many people want evidence. They want evidence that God is real and Jesus Christ is real. And that evidence is shown through you and I, through his people. When you get saved, it's called a new birth. It's a spiritual birth that takes place. That's why the term is used, being born again, not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. God's Spirit then indwells that believer, and he is there to teach us all things. He is there to guide us and lead us. His power within us gives us the ability to walk as Christ walks in this world. Oh, we still have an old nature that we battle with and struggle with, but the Spirit of God gives us victory, and it helps us to live a life that is pleasing to the Father and truly be pleasing to the world, to those around. So the Spirit indwells us, and the truth of the matter is his power is limitless. He's God. God, part of the Godhead living within us. There's no restraints. There's no limit to God's power. But we must understand his power is limited also by the unwillingness of that believer to yield to him. You know, sometimes I hear people talk and they'll say, I know what the Bible says, but, and then they go on a rant or they talk of certain things and say foolish things and they do what they want to do, but they always remember what the Bible says. Well, until we yield to the truth of God's word and yield to the Holy Spirit working in us, his power is limited. There are some people living and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and their life is joyous and wonderful. It's a blessing to all others around them. And there are others that do at times, and then at times they don't. They know it's right, but they let their flesh, their emotions overrule the Spirit in their life. And then still there are others that just totally ignore that power that's within them. And they live like they want to do, please themselves. Please their emotions, their mind, their thoughts, their physical appetites. They go without restraint whatsoever. See, when a believer will yield to the Holy Spirit, he will give him the ability to love and to forgive. I believe that's one of the things many people struggle with is forgiveness. Somebody's harmed them in a terrible way, done them wrong in a bad way. And they say, I'm having a hard time forgiving. Or they may even state, I won't ever forgive them. Well, I try and remind them of what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32 tells us. Even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, we are to do the things that Christ did towards us, toward others. And people struggle because they're trying it in their own flesh, but it's a matter of yielding to the Holy Spirit and obeying the scriptures that we find and that are given to us. And see, that is what grace can do. The grace of God can do for you. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is giving to us what we don't rightly deserve. And God gave us his Spirit to indwell us. And he gave us the ability to love people. He gave us the ability to forgive people and to get beyond our own pain, our hurt, and our suffering, and overcome that by the strength and the power of the Spirit of God that dwells and lives within us. You know, at the birth of Jesus, the angels brought a message to the world. What a beautiful message, what a wonderful message it is. In Luke chapter 2, verse 14, it reads, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Of course, oftentimes people will look at the word peace and they think of world peace, they think of no wars, and yes, I believe that is part of it also. But I think God is talking to us on an individual basis of peace, of having inner peace within us, peace in our heart, in our soul, our mind, contentment, having that, and then goodwill toward men. Not just now, this week, during this time of year when we celebrate Christmas, we celebrate the New Year's, and it seems like mostly for the whole month of December and even on the end of November at the time of Thanksgiving, people have a better spirit about them for the most. They're kinder, they're more thoughtful. they do things with manners and respect to people during that time. But as we change months, it seems like we change back to who we are and what we are and how we want to live and treat others. But Jesus came in this world to change us. He came in this world to save us, to make us new creatures. Yes, born again into the family of God, into heaven, but it's more than that. He wants to make us new creatures. I don't know anybody who likes to be miserable. I don't know anybody who likes to go to sleep at night with anger or jealousy or bitterness or pain as they try and sleep at night. And for the most part, people don't sleep very well. But that peace on earth, that peace and goodwill toward men can be ours, can be everyone's, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, because he gives the power to be able to attain that. Is there someone that you're refusing to love? Remember, the love of God has towards you. Remember that. When you look at somebody and say, I can't love them, I don't want to love them, just remember, God loves you. And who are you and what type of person are you that God would love? Is there someone you cannot forgive? Remember the forgiveness that God has towards you. Remember that he paid for our sins. If we're willing to confess him as our Savior, he'll cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we sin, he is faithful and just still to forgive us our sins if we confess them to him as born-again believers. You know, we need to seek God's help in loving others the way that he did so many years ago on that rugged cross. You know, it's something I see a need that we ought to be striving for, to become more like Christ. You know, it's nice to put him on and put the actions of the Christian life on for a period of time, for a month or 5 or 6 weeks. But why can't that be a pattern of life, a way we live our life? Because when you can love and you can forgive, that's when peace comes. That's when harmony of the soul, the mind come about, the spirit. You find that harmony, you find that peace, you find that joy, you find goodwill toward men. Because we live and walk in the spirit remembering all that Jesus Christ has done for us, all that he has given us. And thank God for that. I still recall when I was saved in April 1979, when I walked out of that church building with the joy of the Lord in my heart, knowing that I was forgiven, I was a child of God, and I had a home in heaven waiting for me. What a wonderful joy that was to be forgiven. And then I found out how to maintain that joy is to be able to forgive others. I try and live a life without bitterness. I try and live a life without anger and envy and vindictiveness. And when I'm able to do that in the strength of God, I find very much a peace inside me. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that Christ has come and to give me victory. You know, let's end 2015 and begin 2016 with the burden of resentment and unforgiveness, the lack of love laid at the feet of Jesus Christ. You know, there you will find freedom and peace when you follow the example of Jesus Christ. Our flesh tells us it's silly. Our flesh tells us not to do that, but you've tried everything else. You bought all the books. You went all the self-help seminars. And then you just struck out in vengeance and anger and still found no peace. The answer is in Jesus Christ. It has been. It always will be. And the sooner that we realize that, the sooner that we'll have the joy of the Lord in our heart. And people will see Jesus Christ in us. And then as we talk to them, it won't be hard to convince them because they see a changed life in us. Let's make 2016 a great year of walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God.